episode 9 of Could It Be podcast. Today I'll be giving you an update on weeks 3 and 4 since my explant surgery. This episode is a little later than I would normally try to release it, but I have had a cold and my nose has been extremely blocked, and I've been trying not to record at a time where I sound like the nanny. So apologies for how I sound this episode. Hopefully I'll clear up very soon. So within week 3, I accidentally noticed some changes in my ability to handle different temperatures. And it happened, I've got one of those temperature controlled hot water systems where I can select the exact temperature that I would like the hot water tap to be. And I've only really been able to tolerate up to about a 38 degree shower. And I swear in the past I've been able to have hotter showers, especially in winter when you're trying to warm up. And Adelaide winters can be quite cold, and I've got a little old house with solid brick walls and it likes to hold in the cold. It's been ages since I've been able to have a hotter shower. My partner will have a shower at about 44 degrees, and I went into the shower one day. We had a couple of days off of work, so I wasn't in my normal routine of jumping in the bathroom first, changing the temperature, changing it back before he jumped in. And I got in and it felt kind of hot, and I was like, oh, I think I've forgotten to change the temperature. But I managed it fine. Like, it was a whole 6 degrees hotter than I would have had before my explant surgery. And it felt okay. So since then I've had sort of a few different temperatures. I'm just trying to find what I like now. It's sitting around the 42 degrees at the moment and it's really comfortable. But before my surgery, I definitely would not have been able to handle that temperature. Also, on the other side of things, I can handle the cold a little bit better. So what I was noticing, and I was getting a little bit worried about it in the past, is when it was cold, and if I went for a walk where my hands didn't have gloves on them or anything, I'd actually lose some function in my hands. Almost, I feel it was something like an arthritic pain. So if I went for a hike in the colder weather and I jumped in the car afterwards, it was hard to grip the steering wheel and stuff like that. And that's not happening anymore. I can handle colder water when I'm washing my hands. There was one morning where the pipes are on the outside of my house and they are exposed, and it was quite a cold morning and it was painful, but I guess that water was quite cold. But apart from feeling it at that point, I haven't had any issues with the ability to handle temperatures, which is amazing. I hadn't put it on the list of symptoms that I thought were to do with my breast implant illness, so that's one thing that I have noticed has changed since the operation. I did start to get this weird rash on my palms and on the arches of my feet, but it wasn't on the outside of my skin. It was kind of like it was underneath the skin. My skin would get red and blotchy and it would get really itchy, and it would get warm when I scratched it, and it was waking me up in the middle of the night. I've never had this before. And in that kind of situation, I tend to analyze what I've changed. And I had mentioned in the previous episode, I had started to take a detox and de-bloat supplement. And I'm assuming that I was allergic to something within that supplement. So what I did, I stopped taking it when I figured out that that might have been the case. And the rash decreased. It was slowly, like it was slower than it had come on. But yeah, it definitely was that supplement. So I've stopped taking that. I won't bother with that kind of thing. I'll just let my body do the detoxing on its own. In week 3, I had increased my walking distance up to about a 3.7 kilometer walk. So my partner and I went to a local housing estate where they've got this big man-made lake and a walking trail, and we did a few laps around that. We only cut it short to the 3.7 kilometers because it started raining. And what we did afterwards, we went and sat down at a cafe, had a hot chocolate. And what would normally happen before I had my explant is after a walk like that and then sitting down, standing up to leave, I would be in pain. I'd be limping. It would be hard to stand upright straight away. And I noticed after this particular walk, and it was cold as well, which I feel may have probably exacerbated it in the past, I was fine. I bounced up out of my seat, walked over to the car, no problems, no pain later on. So that feels great, because I felt like that was something that shouldn't have been happening at my age. And that's continued since then. Another thing, I think it might have even been the same day or the day before this walk, we went to the cinemas to watch the new Thor movie. And normally after sitting down at the cinemas, I would tend to limp after sitting there, and walking downstairs was a bit painful for me, and I'd be a bit self-conscious about people noticing it. And I noticed this particular time that we went to the cinemas, it didn't happen. So that's another positive. About midway through the week, as instructed by my specialist nurse, I took the dressings off and the scars look really good. I didn't bother to put any back on. I was thinking of buying some just in case it got irritated by wearing crop tops and stuff, but I at that stage I didn't have any issues with it. The scars didn't get irritated by going for walks and they looked really great. Another thing that I purchased, so I was in one of those Facebook groups where people discuss breast implant illness, and one member of the group recommended the post-surgery crop tops from Best & Less, and I didn't actually realize that they sold one. I did do a quick browse through one of the stores, but they are very busy stores, like there's a lot of merchandise around the place, so I just didn't see them. After seeing that post, I went and had a look and I bought one, and I actually think I prefer them better out of Best & Less, Kmart and Target. I'd like them in that order because these do sit a little bit longer. They are zip up. They have a little flap of material at the bottom that covers the zip so it doesn't dig into you when you're sitting down or anything like that. That was really good for after taking the dressings off. Also, in the third week, I started dry brushing and I'm aiming to try that once or twice a week. I did forget to do it during the week, but it's more of a thing that I remember to do on the weekends. So at least if I'm trying it once a week, then it's better than not doing it at all. During that week, I also noticed that my memory is starting to improve again. So when I was probably in year one, so I may have been about 6 years old, I was watching an Australian sitcom. It might have even been Hey Dad. And before a commercial break, they said, "What is Donald Duck's number plate on his car?" And at 6 years old, I said to my mum, it's in that Disney book. And I grabbed the book from the bookshelf, found the page, showed mum the number plate. I don't know, like thinking back, what 6 year old knows what a number plate is? I was a nerd. And the show came back on after the commercial break, and I had found the correct number plate that they were talking about. And my mum mentioned that to my teacher the next day. She took me to school and the teacher's like, "Yeah, Bianca has a photographic memory." And it's not a brilliant one. Like there can be people who can look at a page and remember words that they've read based on their photographic memory. And mine's not quite that good, but I tend to remember faces and like small groups of words together and that kind of thing. And that had been actually slipping in the last couple of years, and I assumed it was just an age thing. But in week three, I noticed that it's starting to get better again. I was doing a report where I didn't have to remember a specific identification number, but I was working on this report across 2 days at work, and I remembered that 8-digit ID number from both days without having to look at it. And that's something that it might seem quite easy normally, but I haven't been able to do that in so long. So that's another really positive step that I wasn't assuming would happen. I just assumed that it had gone with age. I'm only 35, but you know, I felt a lot older than that. Towards the end of week three, I started to notice that I was getting very, very hungry. I'm assuming that that is because my body's in a state of repair at the moment. I'm not sure if there's any science behind that, but I've been listening to my body and eating whenever I am hungry and trying to incorporate things like more protein and more good fats just to make sure I feel full for longer. Normally what I would do, and I wasn't purposely intermittent fasting or anything, but I would wait to eat my breakfast until I was hungry in the mornings, and that would normally be around the 9-10 a.m. mark. But at the moment I'm having two breakfasts, so I'll normally have like a smoothie, and then a couple of hours later I'll have like an English muffin or toast just to make sure that I'm not getting absolutely hungry at work, because yeah, if I don't do that, I am starving. Another example of that, so this is the sort of start of week four, I guess. I did a spin bike ride at home on the Saturday morning. It was about an hour, but it was just a flat ride. I put some landscape footage on my TV and listened to some music and just rolled my legs, basically. I didn't work very hard. Did take the dogs for a walk after that, so I am walking the smaller dogs out of R3. My partner's walking the golden retriever because she is about 35 kilos and she gets excited and pulls on the lead, and I don't want to risk putting my recovery backwards by walking her. So I take the two little ones. So after that, like obviously ate breakfast and lunch and probably some snacks, and we went out to dinner. It was like a Thai fusion restaurant, and we were going to have some mains and then a dessert. And we were both too full at the time for dessert and came home. We were watching a movie, and 90 minutes after I'd eaten dinner, I was hungry again. And that never happens. Like, normally when I feel full, I feel sick and full for the rest of the night. And even sometimes, you know, it can interrupt my sleep and that kind of thing. So I am thinking that, yeah, maybe my metabolism's being repaired and my body's using a lot of energy to try and repair tissue and that kind of thing at the moment. I have noticed that my left hand side, which is the boob that's a bit more of a normal shape, that's stronger, so I don't tend to fatigue on the pec muscle of that side. So my right hand side tends to feel it if I've carried shopping, and I'm being careful, I'm not carrying anything too heavy. But yeah, even if I haven't carried things, if I've done like a bit of cleaning or a bit of a walk, sometimes the right hand side can almost get a bit crampy or tired. So I will mention that to my specialist when I see her for my next follow-up. I try to walk or spin around on the bike most days. It doesn't have to be a big, massive hour-long thing. It can be a 20-minute, 15-minute bike ride or a quick walk with the dogs. So my first 2 weeks back at work, I had 3-day weeks. So the first one was because that's when my medical certificate expired on the Tuesday, and I went back the Wednesday to Friday. I think I did some overtime on the Sunday morning for 4 hours. And then my partner and I were going to go interstate to Melbourne in the school holidays. And we decided it was probably a bit too soon after my operation to be traveling and to be sleeping in a different bed without my pillow set up that I have at home at the moment. So we decided to sort of do a holiday at home kind of thing. So I had the Monday, Tuesday off, and I kept those days off. That's when I did the first walk around the lake and went to the movies. But yeah, I had 2 3-day weeks, and I've had like a 4-week back at work this week, and I'm managing it really well. I've done one longer day where I've done some overtime after work. I've done a 10-hour day and felt fine afterwards. Yeah, feeling back to normal with a lot of things except for carrying stuff and sometimes my right hand side getting a little bit tired. During my 4th week, I had my first lymphatic drainage massage. I think I mentioned in the previous episode, I've gone back to a lady that I used to have fertility massage through, and she was doing the fertility massage to try and help with some adhesions. And that was before I realized that I had my ovary and bowel had joined together while my ovary was healing from surgery. So once that surgery had happened, I didn't have the need to go back for that particular kind of massage because the pain wasn't happening anymore. So when I was researching lymphatic drainage massage therapists, I found her name in there. I was like, right, I'll go back to her because I really liked her. She was great. I told her about the surgery, and she's actually had some mastectomy patients who've had implants before, and they've had some real issues with their implants. So she completely understood my story. And yeah, what she did was she concentrated on my upper body for my first session, and I did a bit of a shorter session, and I wasn't quite sure what to expect. You hear the word drainage and you almost think it's going to be a weird experience, but it was just a real gentle, almost like a pushing type of massage on specific parts of the body to obviously move things around your lymphatic system. It was really relaxing. I felt fine afterwards. And what I probably didn't realize until later on that night was I was in what I'm assuming is an overall detox wave. So I did get the start of a headache that afternoon before the massage, but got on top of that with paracetamol. And the joint aches had come back. And that morning there was a lot of hair fall when I was washing my hair. And I hadn't done anything to really trigger the joint aches to come back. So I actually think I was in, an overall detox wave that I hear people talk about in the Facebook groups. And they can happen for months after the surgery. I haven't really seen anyone specify how long they happen for. It wasn't horrible. It was just a few of the symptoms had come back. But I noticed that night after the lymphatic drainage massage, it was just perfect timing. I hadn't booked it in for that specific reason. It was just when she was available. And those the joint aches specifically, they went away. She did warn me when she was studying lymphatic drainage, she used her husband as a guinea pig. And the night after he had his first session of lymphatic drainage, he went to the toilet like to wee about 4 times during the night. So I was prepared for that at least. But I didn't, I think my dog possibly woke me up a couple of times, and I just used that as an opportunity to go to the bathroom. But I don't think I would have had to have gone otherwise. But yeah, it felt really good. I was relaxed and it got me through that detox wave. So I am going back every fortnight. The next session will be another 45-minute session where she focuses on the upper body side of things. She also talked me through the best technique to do the dry brushing to aim for lymphatic drainage. So that was really helpful too. I'm glad I booked in with her. So on the following day, around lunchtime, I started to realize that I was getting a bit of a cold. And of course, with how things are at the moment, you go into panic mode like, uh-oh, is it the spicy cough? So I'm really lucky where I was able to come home and work from home for the rest of the day. Did a couple of rat tests that day and over the weekend, and it's not COVID, luckily, but I don't know whether flushing things out of my system might have brought it on. I'm not sure. It was possibly sitting there waiting to happen anyway, but it hasn't been horrible or anything. I just can't breathe through my nose and I hate it. The following day, so Saturday, I woke up. I tend to wake up fairly early on the weekends. My dogs will wake me up to go outside and I can't get back to sleep, so I would normally try to do stuff around the house, but I'd caught up on all of that. And if I hadn't had that kind of stuff to do, I'd do a workout in my home gym, but I can't do that at the moment. So I decided I'd go for a big walk. While I was walking, I realized I was hungry again and wasn't satisfied with anything that I had at home. So I stopped off at the shops as part of my walk and grabbed a few things. And this may seem just like such a basic thing for people to be able to do, but in the past, that would have left me in so much pain, like doing the walk and then carrying groceries home. And it wasn't like the shop is overly close to my house or anything. It's a few streets away, but I would be in agony. I'd have to stop and drop the bags for a little while to rest. And they weren't even that heavy, but I was like, oh, give it a go. Like, I'm feeling really good. So the walk was about 4.6 kilometers, which is my longest so far since the surgery. And brought the groceries home, made breakfast, sat down to eat the breakfast. So as I mentioned before about the other walk around the lake, it's normally after sitting down that some of the pain will kick in. Nope, I was fine. I jumped up out of my chair after breakfast and asked my partner when we were going for a bike ride. And yeah, not long after that, once he was ready, we jumped on our normal outdoor bike. So that's my first outdoor bike ride. And we did the basic path that's not too far from home. We did a 16 kilometer bike ride. Normally what would happen with those rides, within I'd say about 200 meters from home, my quad muscles would start to fatigue and burn out a little bit, and I would just work through that. That didn't happen until towards the end of the ride, and I think we were about 15 kilometers into the ride. So I'm really happy with the fact that that had happened so far in, and I think we'd just finished a small hill as well when my legs started to fatigue. It wasn't a pain, it wasn't a burning, it was just they were a little tired. So we came home, but then I wanted to do some workout in the yard as well. I've just got so much energy at the moment and I'm still limited as to what I can do, and hopefully that's not for much longer. But yeah, this feels amazing. I'm really excited for what summer brings. We used to go for night bike rides and we'd start around sunset and finish up, you know, 11 p.m. we'd have headlights on our bikes and that kind of thing, and it would be fun. It's such a cool experience, but then I'd also have the fatigue that would kick in, so I'm really looking forward to doing those where I'm not in pain. Now that night I went to a light show event that we have happening in Adelaide at the moment. And when I was getting ready for that, I just kind of reached for the closest post-surgery bra that I had in my room. And it was one of the Target ones. So that was one of the first ones that I'd purchased. And I don't think I've actually worn the Target ones since I had the dressings on. I didn't realize that the crop top would rub on my scars. So about halfway through the night, I realized that they were getting a little bit, almost a bit stingy and angry. So as soon as I came home, I jumped out of that crop top and into one that's like, it's one that's years old. It's lost the elasticity in the bottom of it, and popped some like bio oil on the scars. And it felt better the next morning, but it did take a couple of days before it went back to normal. So when it comes to the post-surgery bras, especially if your scars end up slightly lower than the original ones, which mine are probably about a centimeter under my old scars, go for your Kmart or your Best and Less, because they don't rub on the scars as much as the Target ones. The Target ones are great because they are the hook and eye type, so they're not a zip. I've broken my Kmart zips a couple of times, but they do sort of do up again once you've taken them off, but that can be a challenge in itself. My partner's had to come and help me fix the zip. I've also, along with the bio oil, so I'll put that on at night before I go to bed. And then during the day, I'm putting a vitamin E cream on my scars as well and just seeing how that goes. Also in this week four, I have changed my pillow setup. So I was using two wedge pillows. So it was like a normal wedge for my upper body and then like a wedge just for underneath my legs as well. And I actually just think it was in a point of frustration with not being able to breathe very well while I have this cold. And you know, when you like, you can't breathe in, you just like, you can't get comfortable. I thought, all right, I'm just getting frustrated with having these wedges restrict me as to where I can lay. So I moved them off the bed and just set up a whole heap of pillows that sit slightly higher than how I would normally sleep with them. This is like three normal pillows and then one of my U-shaped pillows sitting on top, but I'm still elevated slightly. So I'm now sleeping on that. In the mornings, I feel fine. I don't have any pain across my chest or anything. There was one morning where I felt a little bit shaky getting out of bed, but it might just be that my abdominal muscles haven't had much work over the last few weeks. But yeah, so I'm updated my pillow setup, and the one positive to that is my quilt sits a lot closer to my body than it was when I was on the wedge. So I'm nice and warm at night now, which is nice. Now, next week, I have my second post-operation appointment with my specialist. So I'm hoping to get the okay to start doing some work in the gym at home here and hopefully using the infrared saunas. But I'll provide updates on my Instagram and on the next episode that will come out in a fortnight. But yeah, at this stage, I'm still feeling like I have made the right decision. I am also seeing my right boob fluff up already. When they took the bandages off, I looked down at my left-hand side. I was like, whoa, there's more there than I was expecting. And the right hand side just looked completely different, and I was a little bit worried about it. Like, it looked like it'd been through a bit of trauma. It's the only way I can describe it. But yeah, already in the first 4 weeks, it's starting to form a more natural shape. And even there are some days where, like, I'll get dressed in the morning and, like, I'll obviously see it as I'm getting dressed. And then when I go to get changed into my pajamas at night, there's already a difference between morning and night. So I'm really happy with how that is coming along. They are still both different sizes, but I'd be happy if they were both the smaller size on the right hand side, to be honest, because it's just lovely and little and not obnoxious and big like the other one. But yeah, that's all I've really got to update you on over the last couple of weeks. I'm really happy with my progress and looking forward to, you know, what the next few months bring still. It's all very positive so far. I understand that there are going to be more detox waves, but I'm doing what I can and I'm finding my little different strategies to use when they do come along. So I think I've mentioned it before, but it's drinking lots of water. I'll have a green tea. I'll go outdoors and get some fresh air and then try and just get some real simple basic movement in. So going for a walk or sitting on the spin bike for a bit with the doors open, just getting some fresh air, that seems to help, and also taking some paracetamol as the headache starts to kick in. If you've got any questions, feel free to reach out to me on the Instagram, which is Could It Be II Podcast, and I will speak to you very soon. Until then, take care. This podcast shares my own experience and research. I'm not a medical or health professional. You can find me on Instagram at couldbeiipodcast. Thank you to my incredibly talented partner, Jacob Tengdahl, for the intro and outro music. All recording, editing, and artwork is done by me. Thank you for listening.